Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here of the Common Sense Show and Doug Thornton of the American Vindictus Show. And we've got a really good show for you today. Doug is famous for this saying, "There is a crisis every 12 hours." Well, with the number of topics we went through tonight in our pre-show discussion, I'd say that's almost 12 minutes now. The crises are spreading faster than AI is developing. So it's just amazing what's happening here. Like, speaking of AI, we will hit that as well. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a blockbuster show for you today. And of course, we're going to get into some stuff that's highly controversial, but that's why you're here, because you want to know what's going on and how you can prepare for it. Hey, we're brought to you by, on my end, Noble Gold. I've been an advertiser for 6 years after advertising for a total of 7 years. And I have to say this, though, the FTC says they want me to tell you there's no guarantees. We agree with that. Too bad they didn't make Sam Bankman-Fried adhere to that. And by the way, Congress isn't giving back the $40 million that he stole when he gave him campaign donations. But that's not us. We're very honest. Noble Gold can save your retirement. They can save your bank account. How? By getting you to diversify. Because the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says they can take your money anytime they want. Look it up. So don't be a fool. Don't be a patsy for these people. Call 877-646-5347. Find out why I sleep good at night because I've diversified under Noble Gold. 877-646-5347. And Doug is going to take about 30 seconds to a minute here, and he's going to tell you about his active training class for defense. And I'm not sure, Doug, if I'm expressing it with the right terms. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about what you're doing, how they can find you.
So Vindictus Solutions, vindictusolutions.com. We're implementing a few new classes, actually. We are going to be coming up with a basic, intermediate, and advanced class. Right now, what we're looking at is our basic class. We are having two different forms of this. We have a family preparedness survival class, which will be a two-day course. It's a lot of PowerPoint briefings over various different things. And that's more or less for the average person to come and learn about family preparedness, different levels of preparedness, survivability, how to organize yourself. And what we're doing is we're checking the box for a lot of people who come to us saying, "I know nothing about survivability. I know nothing about preparedness." Well, pretty soon we're going to have it as a course that you can come and visit us, and we will sit there and talk to you and teach you based on PowerPoint, showing you all different types of stats, quotes and different crap,
Okay.
so that you can actually see, how to have a better level of preparedness for the basic person, for the family.
It's
From there,
outstanding.
we're going to be going into a basic communications course. So for all of you guys who need to use radios or need to learn what you're doing with a radio, we are soon going to be offering a radio course. Those are two basic two-day courses. And then we have our shoot, move, communicate course. This is where we teach you close quarters battle techniques and tactics to raise your survivability of a up close encounter with something like a break-in on your home, a forced entry on your home, or a robbery in progress that's happening to you. I mean, you can take this all the way into World War III and Doomsday, but pretty much what we're doing is we're teaching you how to use a gun properly, how to use it safely, how to look around your surroundings, situational awareness at all times, teaching you how to talk to people, how to put people in positions of disadvantage, keeping yourself into a position of dominance,
Okay.
and increasing your survivability. And then we're adding in two advanced courses. One will be a patrol-based course with medical, and then the other one's going to be a survival-based course with the CQB shoot house. So we've got some things in the pipeline. Currently, June, July, we have courses coming up. They'll be at Teleco Plains, Tennessee. So please make sure you go to vindictusolutions.com and you can sign up. I believe it's the June class is actually going to be our radio course. Don't quote me on that just yet, but for right now, I think that's the way it's looking. So we're
Okay.
hoping to be able to fill the seats and help, the best that we can with people. So
You know,
thank you.
it's like Noble Gold. If you've got a nest egg to protect, you got to do it. If you've got a family to protect, you got to do what you're doing. It comes down to the same thing. I just did a video on Rumble a couple days. It actually came out today, as a matter of fact. And I basically said, you don't have much time to prepare. and here are your seven basic essential elements, and as a starter. And it's certainly not an exhaustive list. So we're all thinking in the same way, because things are going to hell in a handbasket very, very quickly here, both geopolitically, economically, culturally, spiritually. We're a nation in absolute crisis, and things could turn on a dime, folks, and we could be in great conflict overnight. I mean, literally, I'll give you one trigger. If Donald Trump was assassinated, for example, I think this country would be in the streets. When the government completes its takeover of the farms and people don't have enough to eat. I mean, there's so much crap going on. But anyway, I'm glad you're doing this. I think it's fantastic the way you've taken an interest and turned it into a defense project for the general public. All right, let's get into our first topic, and I'll let you control the index here, and we got to move quickly because there's so many things to talk about.
So let's start off with Iran. This is what's going on throughout the news. As we know, during a flight heading over towards the Azerbaijan area next to a lake in Iran, out of nowhere, inclement weather hit, fog that was appeared to be almost impenetrable to look through. And what we're learning now is that one of the helicopters, or both the helicopters, that the president of Iran and some of his cabinet guys were in have crashed. And now this is where it gets tricky. We're hearing all different types of rumors and speculations, Dave. One of them, and I'll say this, is that the first reports were that he was just missing. He wasn't dead. The second reports were everybody's dead. Then there's a third report that not everybody's dead and some people have lived. And now there's a fourth report. Nope, it's confirmation. Everybody's dead. Everybody's burned to death. You can't even recognize any of the bodies. But yet then when we see pictures of the bodies, we see that some of the bodies are not completely burnt and are identifiable. There's been multiple deaths already now reported from some of the search and rescue teams, apparently, that have died now. I think it's three search and rescue team members have died. Yeah, trying to find this wreckage. So I don't know if they fell off a cliff or if Godzilla ate them, but that's another one of these strange reports. It's what's also strange is that it was a clear day, and the helicopters are you know, just doing a leisure flight. And for any of you out there who are pilots, please insert comments here. Would you fly into a wall of fog? Would you not do a proper scouting of the area prior by seeing what the weather formation was going to be like for that week, especially that day, what the wind was going to look like, plot your course? For heaven's sake, it's the president of Iran. Do they not have people who are competent enough to do this type of navigational skill? And another thing that's interesting, and once again, we get kind of skewballed here, is that there was a flight from Israel, a U.S. flight from Israel to Azerbaijan, crossing, I'm guessing, over part of Iran, and landing in Azerbaijan the same time, same day this wreck happened. Okay, now it's going to get a little confusing. Some people have gone to the actual site where you can look at the weather for that day, the satellite images of the weather. And the 19th, the day that this crash happened, is cut completely out of the public records. So you have the 17th and the 18th, no 19th, and then 20th. So to me, I'm going to say,
I was going to say this, the president's brain is missing. Yeah, it's like losing Kennedy's brain. Okay.
I know this. It smells of tomfoolery because somebody had to go in and manipulate data of a satellite to delete everything that day to hide what happened. Now insert conspiracy theory. Did weather modification, weather warfare, was it used to cause this type of weather blackout that causes intense fog? And did that fog, A, actually cause the flight to run into the side of a mountain and kill everybody on the flight? Or did at some point in time this plane cross over at the same time they see, this helicopter flight, and was electronic warfare used to bring down the helicopter? Now, I cannot prove either of those points. Those are just the two first things that came into mind. And the only reason why I say that is because the two people or the two nations that were in the same vicinity the same day, the United States and Israel. The United States and Israel have plenty of jamming technology, plenty of electronic warfare technology, lasers, whatever. And then we also do weather modification. So you can easily do cloud seeding. You can easily use HAARP. It would be just a crazy internet conspiracy that I would sign off, say, Roger that. Doug's crazy. He's just making this up, trying to make sense to this. But then you tell me, why did somebody who, for one thing, you had to have access to the system, go in and clip out the day that the wreck happened, Dave? None of this is making
Well, you
sense.
know, that's exactly. It's how the magic bullet disappeared and reappeared. You know, I'm making some Kennedy analysis here, but it fits. Let me just say this, okay? You know, I believe in Occam's razor. My experience as a researcher, usually your simplest answer is the most accurate. And so you're covering up the murder, so there's circumstances, or excuse me, the event. I'll say it that way. So the first thing is they're trying to obscure the facts of the crash. And you asked a very good question. You said, don't they have people in the Iranian government that could look into this and make sure that they're not flying into danger? Well, this is what happened to Kobe Bryant, the Hall of Fame basketball player for the Los Angeles Lakers, but he's not a head of state, and they didn't have cabinet members on board his plane. It was just friends and family members. So no, that doesn't fit, and I agree with you. They do have people that do this. And I'll say this. So, okay, Occam's razor. What's the simplest motive? I've been covering this since 2014 in the first go around with Ukraine and then Syria. Obama tried to start a war with Russia back in 2014. Okay. Hillary tried to inflame the tensions and the passions when Donald Trump took office. Russia, Russia, Russia. The Steele dossier BS. So, excuse me. So, Doug, I'd say this very clearly, and I think there's no question this is true. They offed him. They're trying to provoke Russia. They want a war, and the Russian leadership has to say, "Are we next?" And they're going to react defensively. And then you add to the fact that Russia is conducting dangerous war games off our western coastline, 300 nautical miles from the coast. So. Yeah, that's my response to what you're saying, Doug. I think this was probably a CIA hit designed to inflame the tensions to try to promote World War III.
Yeah. I mean, the intentional goal here is to always what? Keep us in conflict. It's to always keep us in conflict. It doesn't make sense that we blackball Iran for every single thing that's going on in the Middle East. And they do have their hand in most of it. They're all crazy. And when I say crazy, when I say Iran, I mean like the people in Tehran. Not the Persian people. But at the same time, Dave, like, why are we giving them billions of dollars? Thanks, Biden. Thanks, Obama. And, Israel, if you're going to just nuke them, if you're going to just invade them, well, why don't you just do it? Quit threatening it. Just do it. But they don't. And I think the reason why they don't is because somewhere in a back room, there must be a deal going on to keep all this going, keep all the tensions going, because there's never a call for ceasefire. There's never a call for truce. Predictably, there never will be, especially with Israel. The whole world will come down on Israel every single chance it gets. The scripture says that.
That's
But
true.
the members of the state governments, I mean, they're at each other's throats consistently, and the United States is only fomenting it. We're only helping. And then you have someone like Russia who is saying, don't cross this red line with Iran, or we're going to help invade.
Yeah.
And you have all these Muslim countries, especially Turkey, that are working with Israel, helping Israel at the same time, denouncing Israel, but they're sending money and they're sending aid to Israel. So it's very interesting. I think if this is a ruse, I don't want to say, and if we did kill the president of Iran, because I have no way to even prove that. I can only look at the evidence that is, on open source. But the point then must be to further advance the war quicker than what it's going. And I say that because, once again, the elite need world tensions to escalate, like birth pains, right? Like the Bible says, to escalate in hostility, because we're in that election cycle season, and for every other reason, it seems like they never want net neutrality. They always want aggression and opposition, right? Same thing with Ukraine. If you're a country or a state member of a parliament or whatever in Europe, and you say anything untowards Ukraine, well, everybody there comes after you. Like what we have with FICO. I guess we can go straight into that.
Yeah, exactly. I,
The
no, I feel
attempted
you.
assassination on the ambassador, FICO. Do you want to add to that?
No, I think you're right on the money with that. I just, there's no question something is rotten in Denmark, so to speak, but it's rotten in Slovakia. It's rotten in Iran. And I got to tell you, if I was the leader of Syria right now, I'd be real nervous. I'd be real nervous because he'd be next. This is all about going to war. They're making preparations for the draft here in America. It's all planned. It's all
Yeah.
planned. All right, what's the next topic on the agenda, Doug?
Well, we were going to talk about a little bit of Russia, but there's so much we might as well just save it for the next time. Let's just go ahead and say Russia is reinvading the north of Ukraine, and they're doing an awesome job at it, apparently. Ukraine's getting their teeth kicked in. People are trying to self-evacuate themselves, which means running for their lives. And yeah, not looking good. France is there. You have Putin calling out France, saying, why does the president of France have his troops in Ukraine trying to fight Russia? Maybe you guys need to ask France why they're escalating. Russia's not escalating. And he has a point. When you look at NATO and the original creation of NATO, it was 10 countries. Now it's what, 30 countries, 30, 31 countries. So, NATO has only grown closer to Russia. Russia never grew closer to NATO, but Russia is always the boogeyman. It's always the nuclear threat. And I get that from both points and angles, especially after, reading the book from Annie Jacobson called Nuclear War. I understand a lot more now about the Cold War, nuclear war, which is, I get no money for saying this, an amazing book. Read that freaking book. It will enlighten you about how screwed we are with the first thermonuclear bomb exploding. Once again, with Russia, it's kind of the same thing as usual. But what we're seeing right now is because it's spring, they have a limited timetable to complete their operations before everything thaws out, becomes soup. And then once, it gets cold over there, their operations will kick back up. So all the other countries who want to come in there and, implement themselves, or excuse me, implant themselves into this war, they're on a timetable too, which I think, because France has moved in with, they moved in with the French Foreign Legion. The guys that they sent over there, from what I'm reading and gathering, is artillery scouts, drone scouts, a few of their special operations guys.
They're marking their
And
targets.
well, yeah, they're pushing forward in the southeastern area of Ukraine. All right, so they're giving themselves a little beachhead. And if you ask me, the reason why they're doing it with the drones, the reason why they're doing it with the artillery, is they're going to move the artillery in because this has become an artillery war, and that'll be their defensive posture based on how far their howitzers or whatever their equivalent is can shoot. That's their buffer zone. All right, so their defensive buffer zone will be however far they can shoot with those artillery cannons. That's their call for fire mission, and then they'll build up a base behind that, and then they'll probably push forward and gain ground and gain ground and gain ground until they finally completely start to engage with the Russians. And maybe the Foreign Legion is there to set up the first base of operations for
Maybe.
when the rest of NATO gets there too. That's the way it's looking,
See,
but you know.
I don't see the mercenaries there and the French Foreign Legion being a formidable fighting force. I think they're there for preparatory means. Do you agree?
Well, the Legion is a the Legion is a formidable fighting force. They are ruthless.
Yeah, but
The Legion was
do they have the support of
absolutely.
heavy weaponry that they would need?
Yes, absolutely.
Is
Every
it
French,
there in Ukraine now?
yeah, they'll be using USA and British-based systems.
Okay.
So this is, don't forget, this is a coalition. This is a combined effort. So French is providing the new meat for the meat grinder. The artillery's still there. The drone strikes are still there. The fixed wing strikes from the Zoomies, it's still there. So there what is now being brought in is a much more formidable fighting force because it's Russian, like National Guard and some of their, I guess, lower tier infantry versus French Foreign Legion, and then you have Wagner and the Chechnyans. So two mercenary organizations versus a mercenary organization. So the group is going to square off. It's going to be an okay corral eventually, but every French Foreign Legion is led into battle by active duty French officers. So France is in this fight because the Legion is there. And don't think otherwise, that France is in the fight now. It's a stupid idea, but whatever, man. They want it, they're going to get it.
What do you honestly think? Where do you see this headed?
If it were me, I would have already been at the negotiating table a year or two ago with Russia and just saying, look, what do you want back? And, sorry, Ukraine, but if you're not going to become a NATO member and no one's coming in here to rescue you, well, you've got choices you've got to make now. Russia wants the Russian speaking areas of Ukraine back. According to the citizens of the Russian speaking areas of Eastern Ukraine, they want to be a part of Russia Federation. So, you could lead it to a vote, but the votes are very, unjust and skewed there. It then goes into territorial grievances. What part of that territory is Ukraine's, Ukraine's making money off of? Those areas of Ukraine also that Russia wants back. Well, don't forget, we had like 40 bio labs there. So we don't want Russia in where all of our free testing subjects is. We don't want Russia where all of our like level three, level four bio labs are. The United States, NATO, they have a stake in the game. Ukraine gave them that area, and unless we send our guys in and take control of all of that and demo it all and take all that stuff out, then the United States, who does not want to admit to doing bioweapons research, though everybody knows we're doing it.
Yeah, Mr. Mengele, Fauci, gain of function. Yeah, that's been established.
Yeah. So once again, and there's plenty of research out there that you can do to prove what I just said. I have videos, and I don't have them anymore, but I had videos of test subjects from Ukraine, from this poor, part of you of Eastern Ukraine. Think about that, right? Eastern Ukraine. And they're going to these bioweapon labs. There's a letter in your mailbox. Hey, come give us blood for $100, or come take this vaccine for $500. And these people who make very little money, they're getting a lot of money, through U.S. tax dollars, however it is it's broken down in Ukraine. And they're getting paid for just getting a shot, or just getting this, or just getting that. And so, people are the it's sad that people are being used as guinea pigs over there, but at the same time, you got to think of it from the big corporation perspective of the industrial complexes. They have a serious stakehold there. And World Health Organization, other organizations that if we start naming them, it'll give me kicked to the tube for the ninth time. Is it ninth or eighth? Either way, it's a lot. They have a lot of stake there. They want that territory. They could care less about the people of Ukraine, and so could the government of Ukraine. Zelensky is about to go through a potential election cycle, but his office has already stated there will be no election because of war. Well,
Yeah,
as long as you're at
exactly.
war, you're going to have dictator Zelensky, who's made himself into a $300, $400 million man. He's not fighting in the war. His relatives aren't fighting. They're not taking his kids and throwing them onto the front line. He has no stake in the game. So the Ukrainian people are the ultimate victims of everything that's going on here. And everybody knows it. The whole world knows it. No one says anything about it. But yet at the same time, there's also the Nazi thing, where you have this whole part of Russia, of or not Russia, of Ukraine, that is Stephen Bandera followers, like freaking worshipers. January 1st every year they have a Stephen Bandera parade. He was a Nazi. He was a legitimate Nazi. Hey, pop quiz, kids. Which nation gave the most amount of troops to the Nazi SS military unit? Ukraine.
When?
Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Let's just be honest here, okay? You said this guy's a Nazi. Don't be outraged, Doug. It's common. Marcus Wolff set up DHS, and he was the founder of the East German Stasi. You had Wernher von Braun, who hit London with V2 rockets. He's a war criminal, should have been executed at Nuremberg, and he headed up NASA. And then we had the guys that my dad worked with, captured German scientists, and some of them committed war crimes themselves, working on rocket technology by von Braun. This is what we've got, Doug. We've got a huge Nazi influence in our government. So this shouldn't surprise anybody the way things are going.
Let's move on. Weather. We've had extreme weather in the south. A lot of weird weather. We have in Houston had a huge storm, and this was, just a few days ago. There was over 890,000, let's just go ahead and say up to 900,000 people within the local surrounding Houston area without power. Stories high on some of our big skyscrapers. Windows were knocked out. I think someone clocked over 100 mile per hour winds or higher. So it was a really nasty storm. And once again, we're getting into storm season. We're going to be just quickly approaching hurricane season. Have no idea what any of that's going to look like, but because it's 2024 and it's an election cycle, you probably every hurricane is going to look like Hurricane, Katrina. So that would only make sense at this point in time. So be prepared. Dave, how do people need to prepare for storm season?
Well, if you're talking about you're on the edge of the eye or facing tornadoes, I mean, you got to board up your windows and have food and water and alternative communication and lighting and Radio communication that's not dependent on the grid is good. I mean, that's just a few. How am I doing? Did I pass, boss?
Yeah. Think about this, man. 900,000 people without power. Now, here in Texas, it gets hot. It doesn't just get hot, it gets Texas hot. That means it is muggy hot. For a lot of you people from up north, you come down here and you start melting. I understand. But we have a different kind of weather here in Texas. You need to be prepared to have no power, no air conditioning, possibly not getting gas out of the gas stations. You need food. You need water, fresh water. All right. You need gas cans filled with gas or diesel cans filled with diesel. You need to be thinking about this. Because of the way our system is here in Texas, we have a pretty quick response with our electrical grid system. Typically, worst case scenario, you could see 72 hours, 96 hours without power. Now, that's 3 to 4 days without power. That doesn't sound that bad until you are there every single hour of the day without power in homes that were never meant to not have power and not have AC flowing through it. So you're going to get hot really fast. You need to be able to find a way to cool yourself down. We're getting into the hot season here in the South. So you got to be about heat exhaustion. You got to be thinking about being a heat casualty potentially. You need to find a way to keep yourself cool. For you people who are a little bit longer in the tooth and grayer in the hair, what type of medical devices do you have that is required for electricity? Do you have a generator? Do you have any type of backup electrical system to keep your life-sustaining medical devices up and running? Do you have a CPAP machine? Right? You got to be thinking about these things. Preparedness, Dave, is more than I went and bought me another AR-15 and 1,000 rounds this week. I'm prepared. That is not prepared. And 90% of the people who have come and seen me for training, and a lot of other civilians that I know who have that same mindset, I'll just keep buying rifles. That's how I'll be prepared. Most of them don't even know how to use it properly, fix a jam properly, or even know tactics. So that's not smart. That's not how you grow in this becoming a better person mindset. You need to be very well rounded. Communication, warmth, cooling, your food. If you've got kids, if you've got infants, do you have the necessaries for changing diapers? There are people right now, and look, I'm a dad with 5 kids. I know a lot about changing diapers. There are people who live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, found a quarter on the ground. Thank God it completed my dollar for a year that I've been saving up. You got to be thinking about everything, life sustaining, your kids, your animals, yourself, your vehicle. How do I stay cool? How do I wash? How do I boil? How do I cook? And if you're completely reliant off the grid and your water system is reliant upon off the grid and that electricity, well, the moment the power goes out, you've got no water. How are you flushing your toilet now? You guys need to be thinking about this stuff. I'll tell you this, the biggest problem is water. Having fresh, clean water. You need water for cooking, water for bathing, water for flushing, water for whatever else, right? Splashing around. You got to be thinking about water. That's the biggest killer is being hot, not being able to cool yourself down. So, and once again, this is where communities should be, grouping together and helping one another. And if you're well off, all right, if you are well off, go to your neighbors and, especially the elderly, people who have a lot of kids, and just say, hey, look, if the power goes out, I've got some extra stuff. How can I help you guys? I've got an extra generator. I've got some this. I've got some that. I'm not saying go around and tell everybody you're a freaking a Walmart or anything, but if you can help people, well, do as Christ would command us and go out and help your brother. Don't hoard all this to yourself. Now, once again, I'm not saying sell everything that you've got and unless the Spirit leads you there, but if you can help people, help your neighbor. All right. That's it.
I agree. Forming alliances was one of the lists that I made when I did that Rumble presentation. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, alliances, the Bible. Those are some of the essentials I hit. And I said, that's just a first brush. But we need alliances. Absolutely. You cannot defend your home on your own. Okay, let's go to the next topic, Doug.
All right. the ICC and their warrants for Netanyahu and the Hamas leader. What's your thoughts on that?
First of all, I don't think there's denying that Israel's committed human rights violations by the indiscriminate killing of women and children who are non-combatants. And so I think that these international bodies like the UN had to do something to save face and to have any modicum of credibility. But I think at the end of the day, it's a toothless proposition. It's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to be prosecuted. He's not going to be a war criminal. That's not going to happen. This was face saving on the part of globalists, I think. And that's it. Because what Netanyahu did, first of all, he committed a false flag on his own people. Yes, Hamas attacked with American weapons. One of the failed audits of the Pentagon, I'm sure, would have covered the expense. And then what ended up happening, Doug, is Israel retaliated after delaying for 6 hours, which is unheard of because they brag they can be anywhere in 3 minutes in their country. And they attacked, and they were brutal. So, like I said, Netanyahu is a war criminal. I agree with the indictments, but they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, you know, the United States and Israel both laughed. They completely laughed at the fact that the ICC wants to serve a warrant. I don't like the ICC. I don't even like the thought of the ICC. So, you know, especially this is completely unelected bureaucrats deciding warrants that they can serve on each other. That's just ridiculous. And I agree. Israel has done a lot of harm. They've done some good. They've retaliated for a horrific attack that apparently they knew was going to happen. But what is going on now is a war. All right. And wars are ugly. Wars are a mess. There's not a black and white to a war. It's always a gray zone. There's always going to be innocents killed in war. There's always going to be destruction of property in war. And, you know, right now, because of the internet, we have people on one side who agree with Israel, but people on the other side who agree with the Palestinians, the people of Gaza. And, you know, I don't want to say it's best if we just stay out of it and let them deal with their business. And maybe that is the best answer.
Well, if we did that, Israel wouldn't have the manpower and the weaponry to continue, especially the weaponry.
Well, and that's the thing. Israel is running out of resources. That's why the United States, now, remember what I'm about to say is a half-truth, according to the State Department. The United States parked a vessel off the coast of Gaza, built this pier to bring aid to Gaza and Israel. We're not going to deliver aid to Israel. I have no idea where the aid to Gaza is going, but we set up a private military contractor checkpoint right there near where this is all going on too. So we've got two different footholds. We've got a State Department contract in there. It has to be a State Department contract.
Yeah, you bet.
Maybe it's a DoD contract, but we've got the Navy, and then we've got
it's the State Department, Doug.
Private military.
Okay. All right. Agreed.
All right. So we've got a beachhead. We've got a beachhead right there in Gaza. And what's in the harbor? Oil, gas, resources, money.
Yeah.
So to me, it only makes sense for the United States government and all of its level of corruption to do whatever you can to finagle something between Palestine, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. And from there, it's like a coalition of forces to control and police the area. And while we're there, how you can help pay for our services is to let us have that oil and gas right there in Gaza, where Israel is already called the Leviathan pipeline or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it helps out Israel. It helps out the United States.
Well,
It's oil.
maybe the U.S. The thing I would say here is, the best way to put it was a geopolitical difference that disguised a false flag for a takeover of an entire region for monetary profit for the corporate class, the corporate elite. There's no question this is what's going on. You know what it's like, Doug? It's like Iraq 3.0.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what else do we have on the agenda?
So we have talks of a draft in the European Union. I have been seeing multiple things that says that Britain, Germany, France, and I think two other nations in Europe are talking about putting together a draft for war with Russia. And we have a soundbite that's going to talk about the fact that we're the European Union, NATO is already at war with Russia, and most likely they're going to announce that they're officially at war with Russia come July, August timeframe, which is also around the same timeframe, July, August, where it's rumored that Biden's going to say he's not running for president anymore, and
Heard this.
he's going to repurpose himself and announce, vote for this candidate over here, which may be Michelle Obama, it may be somebody else, who knows?
Hillary.
Hillary. So let's talk about that. The draft in Europe. Do you think it would happen, and do you think it would even matter?
Well, if you think the farmers were pissed off in Europe, wait until they start drafting people to go fight in a meat grinder war. I'd say it's not going to happen. I think they get too much pushback. And I hope it happens there before it happens here, because Americans need to be, shall we say, influenced and nudged to stand up to the tyranny. Listen to me clearly, America. Do not send your young adult children, male and female, into the military to go to Ukraine so the military industrial complex can make more money along with the bankers, along with the global elite. Do not do this. Refuse these illegal orders.
I just wonder what is going to be the category, what is the mechanism, the fulcrum that will force the European Union to have to draft people to go fight against Russia and Ukraine. And would it only be in Ukraine though, or would it be in
No,
Russia
it'll
as well?
spread. It'll spread.
Do you think it would go to Belarus,
Yeah.
Chechnya,
Belarus will jump in
Georgia?
automatically, and they got nuclear weapons. I would say this, Doug. There's going to be big problems politically in Europe if they try to do this. I mean, look at what the farmers did. Imagine if you start taking their kids.
I don't see this. This is not going to end well. And I haven't seen a source yet where the people are on the street saying, give us war with Russia. I
Nobody
haven't seen
wants
it.
it. Nobody. Nobody
Yeah.
wants this
No,
crap.
you know what people want? People want to be left alone. They want
Right?
to make their money. They want to provide for their family, make lovely memories, and live out their lives peacefully. It's the politicians, strangely enough, who want the complete opposite of all that and send you and your child into war to die for them.
For them,
Gee,
exactly. You
where's
know,
the problem at? Where's the
well,
problem with that?
the problem is they think we're their property. And you're absolutely right. There are people just want to be left alone, and then there are those who won't leave them alone, and those are the communists. I totally agree with you 100%. Listen, I've got a son of draft age. It ain't going to happen. I don't care if we got to go to Belize. I'll coach in their national basketball program. And I'll send my son to school there, and they speak English. And school, I mean law school. We're not submitting to the draft. Ladies and gentlemen, You need to stand resolute on this. You'll be throwing your kids' lives away so greedy globalist bastards can make more money. So did you, I don't know if you saw this. I put it on YouTube. I had pictures of Ukrainian nightlife in Kiev.
Oh yeah, they're out there partying.
Yeah, listen, we're sending billions of dollars and want to send our kids to die there, and they're living the life of Riley. There's more bars and pubs open now in Kiev than there were before the war. This is ridiculous what's happening. It's all about starting the Third World War, Doug. That's all it is.
This is the Hunger Games. It's the beginning of it. The elite won't have their kids in this war. The elite will have the bunkers. The elite, unlike you and I, as what they call stupid, shitty people, you and I won't have to be living with one of these, with one of these lovely gas masks, all right? Your life, your future is wearing this if you go to war in Ukraine. I don't even at this rate insist on people enlisting in the military.
I agree.
Because I mean, as a veteran, as a patriot who loves this country, my whole family has been involved in the military and fighting for this country since the very beginning. I got a book right over there on my wall with the other 100 books. It's about my family history. All right. It's actually in a library. And I come from a very patriotic family. However, not this government, not this country right now. And, you know, man, had I known in the past more, I probably would have never went to Iraq. I probably would have went to college, played football, and, you know, I don't know, had an underwater basket weaving degree. But, you know, being what
don't
it
sell
is,
yourself short.
being, you would never know that I was going to go to college for architecture. Being what it is, I look at the state of the world, and I just sit back and I start to ask myself these variable questions, weighing pros and cons. If you join up with this system, well, you are now shaking hands with the devil. You're yoking up with this government and every atrocity that they make, because there's no way you can deny the atrocities anymore. We know too much. We know too much. We know the blood America has spilt in this country, in our own country, around the world. We know the blood of our allies and what they've spilt. We know these needless damn wars. And you cannot tell me that you're joining up to go and help, you know, preserve freedom around the world, when that's not what we're doing. You're preserving the bank accounts of the elite, man. Wake up to that. That's what this whole war is all about. It's blood money. And I won't
it's
be
also
a part
depopulation
of it.
As it advances.
Absolutely, it's depopulation. Yeah. Wait till the real weapons are used, Dave.
I hear you.
The 762 ain't no real weapon. I'm talking about the chemical weapons. Wait till the chemical weapons. Any of you guys who are in Desert Storm, all right, I had a lot of good friends that were Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and you guys lived in those chemical warfare suits every day. You know, and the American populace is not set up for that type of protection or necessary need of it. People don't have gas masks. People don't have CBRN filters like what I have right here. I don't have enough for myself for 3 months. Like this filter, look, I wore this stuff a lot when I was in law enforcement. This filter, okay, it's a CBRN filter. That's about $80 for this one filter. This filter, if it's not raining and if there's not high moisture content in the air, should last me about a month without chemicals in the air, okay? Add rain, and this might last 4 hours. And that's $80. Gone. Right? This stuff gets very expensive very fast. That's why the elite will go down into bunkers where everything is forced fresh air through filtration systems that are like MERV 18 or MERV 20 filters, and they'll never even smell smoke. We're going to be on top here where all the violence is. FEMA is going to make that announcement. FYI, you're on your own, nuclear war, and you're screwed. That is the way they think. That's the way they wrote it out. That's why they go underground. And that's what the Bible talks about. They'll be underground screaming and crying for the rocks to hide and protect them from the lion as he steps foot back into Jerusalem to conquer this world. They're afraid of that day, and they think they can save themselves through it. But meanwhile, you who sit up on top, you got to be ready for a few things. That's why when Dave and I talk about food, water, the gold, having a little bit of cash on hand, having good ammunition, good weapons, good training, good gear, good medical devices, medical equipment, having good networks of people, having a good frame of mind, having a good spiritual connection with the Lord, you've got to have all this squared away today, tomorrow. And it doesn't mean it should take over your life, but you should have an elemental level of preparedness. And still to this day, Dave,
most
people
don't.
Back and they just laugh. They laugh. And you have experts right now who are saying that never has America been closer to World War III and Civil War simultaneously. And that's our experts in the fields are saying that. Our government is saying that. The head of the FBI is saying we're due for a 9/11 2.0 any day, any moment. It may be worse than that. It may be 20 9/11s. We can't predict it. The grid can go down at any point in time. Bare minimal, America will not have power for 6 months. At that point in time, we'll lose half the population in 6 months. So keep on keeping on, man. You know what? Just change the channel. Change the channel. Turn us off. Because a lot of you who don't listen to us, you don't need to listen to us. For the rest of you who do, if you can't prepare accordingly, get as close to God as possible. As possible, the Lord will see you through it. He has always done that for his children. He will not leave you astray. The Lord will see you through it. If you have the ability, prepare to help others as well. We've got, I think, like 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left. So why don't you see us out, Dave?
You were on a roll there. I didn't want to interrupt because I totally agree with you, but I want to really reemphasize this, people. As an American citizen, you're under no obligation to obey unconstitutional laws and rules, particularly when they come out in the form of executive orders, which is an illegal lawmaking practice. It's illegal to make laws with executive orders. It's illegal for the CDC to make policy. They are to follow the policies passed by Congress. And so what I'm saying is civil disobedience that's nonviolent is the order of the day. The problem, Doug, as I see it, though, is that if things come to a head and there's enough civil disobedience, these people are crazy enough to push the violence card. And then I think it's on. We won't have a choice. And I think they're going to do it. We have Chinese military age men coming into the country in high numbers. And now you have the UN positioning itself for medical martial law under the World Health Organization pandemic treaty that's taking effect on May 27th. I think the Chinese are going to be the enforcement agents. And I'll go back to Wei Fang. And I think this is really critical, Doug. Wei Fang said in a leaked speech to the Central Planning Committee of the CCP, and he was the defense minister, echoing the three previous defense ministers. And he said, we're going to take over America. We need the resources. We're not going to cohabitate. And we will use race-specific bioweapons we developed with the Israelis. That was in his speech. Now, I don't know if that's the course of action they would take now, what, 6 years later? I don't know if that would be the case, but I think it's going to be something like that. Doug, when they come here, the Chinese are allowed to take the lead in the UN peacekeeping forces and the medical martial law. They will exterminate millions of Americans. When they put those blue helmets on and come to your neighborhood, and remember, I don't advocate for violence, but when the Chinese are in their little blue UN helmets, it's time to pick up your gun because you ain't got much time. That's my two cents on this, Doug, and it ain't going to get any better. We got 30 seconds. Tell people how they can follow us.
Hey, the American Vindictus Show. It's on Rumble. It's on YouTube. Primarily, we're just on YouTube. But you can also follow what we're doing on thecommonsenseshow.com.tv. Please make sure you're subscribed to the TV part. If they ever take us down from YouTube and Rumble, you can always catch us over there. And make sure that you're following the website as well. And yeah, man, thank you all for your support, for sharing this, liking this. Please make sure that you share it, you like it, you comment it. It helps in the algorithm. It helps to get us and our information out there. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Talk to you next time.